Well, tomorrow's Father's Day, and you can go online and type in Father's Day, and you have a number of organizations, a number of sayings, but I'd like to read to you regarding the value of fathers by Parenting Village, which is a child care facility who takes care of kids during the week while their parents work. Now, they have a statement. They say, fathers are now seen as significant influences on children. It's interesting. Fathers are now seen. It's just really sad what society is going through. But we know from many studies, right, and we have God's word right here for us to know the truth, but they have to go through many studies and see the outcome of children. They said, from many studies, what happens when a father figure is lacking. In a sense, today's Father's Day helps to demonstrate the importance and the value of fatherhood and the gifts beyond material goods that a father bestows on his children and family. And then they say, here's five important father impacts on child development. And it says, it increases intellect. An active father can increase your child's emotional intelligence and problem-solving capabilities. It also boosts confidence. That was their second thing they have. And it's also, children look up to their fathers when a father cares for a child. And fathers also provide a different perspective. You know, if we are a godly father, or we're wanting to do things that are right, it's a different perspective than what they may be learning from something else. And then the fifth thing they add is they feel loved. And isn't that what's lacking in the world today? I mean, we as fathers, we have a responsibility to care for our children. We have a responsibility to actually be godly fathers, to follow God's instruction, as we'll look at today. And we can ask that question, how many fathers actually fill the role of being godly fathers? Why is it so crucial, and I emphasize that word crucial, for us to be honoring our parents? And what is the outcome if we don't honor our parents? You know, honoring God or obeying God leads to honoring all people and being under authority to others. That comes from the head. And it comes from Jesus Christ. God expects this of his children, us, to be honorable. What's the definition of honorable? The word honorable from Encyclopedia Weekly, where did I get this? Well, I didn't have the, but it's the encyclopedia, the most active one on Google, says the word honorable has to do with people and actions that are honest, fair, and worthy of respect. An honorable person is someone who believes in truth and doing the right thing. And how do we know what is the right thing? You know, what is our education? What is our knowledge? What is our understanding? You know, we have the Bible. And they try to live up to those principles. Example, when you lose a game, it's honorable to shake hands. If you smash into someone's parked car, you take responsibility. Telling the truth is honorable. The word is also used for people who are deserving of being honored. And the example they give, like when judges are called, the honorable judge so-and-so. It'd be nice, they say, God is the one who needs to be honored. And we'll look at that today. Let's look over in Ephesians chapter 6 and look at the fifth commandment. You know, I'll refer to it over as well in Exodus 20, verse 12, which is in the Ten Commandments, the fifth commandment. But Exodus chapter 6, it's there as well. It says, children. And here, the writer, Paul, he's referring that to us as spiritual children. Obey your parents in the Lord. We have instructions from God. Obey him. Follow his word. Be led by his spirit. For this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. It comes with promises. That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now, listening to your mom and dad to look both ways when you cross the street is not what it's talking about, so you can live a long time, right? So that you may live long on the earth. You know, that's referring to eternal life. Live long, right? Now, there's also blessings of living long. There's a lot of people who live long on this physical earth who do not honor their mother, their father, and their mother. But spiritually, we've been called to be in the family of God, to live forever, right? That's what we want. And God is guiding us and showing us the way that how we can receive eternal life. But we need to give him the honor and the respect that he so much deserves. He's the one who's been around forever. He's created all things. He's loving. He's caring. You know, but for us as children, God's ways don't make sense. You know, his understanding, his thoughts well exceed ours. We know that. We've heard that scripture. And as children, you know, the things that parents do don't make sense. Think about that when we were growing up. You know, children can be very critical of their parents. I was a child, and I was somewhat difficult. And we see this, right? We definitely see it out there. We get sometimes in disputes with our parents because we want something. Oh, you won't. Well, you never give me anything, right? My friends get this. You never do anything for me. Life's not fair. And then as, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but as they become young adults, you know, then they're out there seeking things. We're seeking things for ourselves. You know, like new clothes, new gadgets. We were talking before services, you know, about our old phones, and we're fine with them. But as soon as that new gadget comes out, the young generation likes to get that new, the new model. And then as time goes on, they get a new house, they get furniture, they get things. And then when struggles happen in their life, trying to make ends meet, they can sometimes then go to their parents and say, hey, you know, they start pointing the finger and be critical. What have you done for me? An attitude of pride, of condemnation is displayed. And to those whom they are to honor, they actually are not. And parents get judged or condemned very easily. And I would caution, you know, self-focus is very partial. It's a very partial judge. And we have to look at that ourselves as well. Focusing on the self will put the blame on everyone else, but the one who is living the life, themselves. It's an outward thought process. Sometimes kids growing up, say, and being disrespectful to parents, as parents are trying to help them, good parents are trying to guide them and help them in the process. I didn't have any good teachers. I didn't get the right amount of attention. And I needed more of that. The problems I have are related to the genes that I inherited. You know, we've heard these things. Maybe we've said these things. You've never supported me. You know, these things that we say are all linked back to our parents. And when we focus on these things, we're very judgmental. For us to think about, for us to be focusing on, is to break out of that self-focus of the human reasoning. We are to stop as children, as godly children, stop making excuses of not honoring our father and our mother. Whether that's, you know, we're told, even in Leviticus, it's, you know, the law was told to Israel, honor your father and your mother. And we need to honor our father and our mother. I know some of us have not always had good father-mother relationships. I haven't, and I know some of you know some of the stories, but that doesn't make an excuse for me to not move forward, or any of us. We need to stop making excuses. And the solution is we need to have a connection with God to understand His will and to apply that into our lives. Because God's way trickles down. When we obey God, it trickles down to being able to honor our father and our mother. It trickles down to be able to then honor one another. Then to honor those in the world. To respect others. That's what God desires. We need to be following God's instruction. People in society do not look at honoring their father and mother as a wise thing. Look at society today. You know, people who loathe their parents, who loathe authority, they bring about the collapse of society. Look what's going on today. Look what's going on today. Where is the honor and the respect for other people? Where is the fifth commandment? How does God feel about not honoring their father and their mother? Let's turn over to Leviticus chapter 20. How does God feel about that? Is it important to God? Is it important to us? Is it just one of those commandments that, yeah, it's there? But Leviticus 20, verse 9, says, "For everyone who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Wow, that's a statement. "He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him." You know, God is about greatly honoring our father and our mother. It's about loving and serving them. And we are called to be a family, to not break the family unit up. Yes, there's situations, maybe your parents are abusive, there's something going on, you know, you can still honor them, and sometimes you may need to get out of that situation. We don't sit there and be mentally and physically abused. And we know that goes on a lot in society. So if you're in that situation, please seek counseling. As we see that, you know, God's way, as I said, is about greatly honoring others. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 3, because when we see society that pushes children to disobey, it actually shortens everyone's life. And this is all linked to not obeying God. What is prophesied? What's going to happen? What's happened in the past? Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1 says, "For judgment the Lord of hosts. For behold, the Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock in the store." So we know this happened to Jerusalem and Judah, and it's also going to happen in the future if nations do not repent. And this is actually referring to, you know, we've got, who are the descendants? I think we know who the descendants are. It says, "The whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water." It's talking about it's going to be taken away. How God does that, we'll wait and see. But we're richly blessed with rain in due season, right? We're blessed from a lot of pestilences. But if we're going to disobey God, those blessings will be pulled. It says verse 2, "The mighty man and the man of war." So here it's talking about individuals who are of authority. It lists them. And the judge, right? And the judge and the prophet, the one who's out there who's prophesying. And the diviner and the elder, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, the counselor of the skilled artisan and the expert enchanter. These are all people in authority. What happens? God says, verse 4, "I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." God says, you're not going to obey me. You're not going to be respected. You're not going to be teaching authority. You're not be honoring your father and your mother. You're not going to be honoring God and honoring others. Then you're going to lose your positions. And we see what's going on today in the world, in the United States. What is, you know, people are losing their respected positions, and it will increase. The people will be oppressed, and everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor, and the child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base toward the honorable. We see a lot of that going on now. I hope we see what's going on. And just because society is doing it doesn't mean that we are to be involved or approve of such things ourselves. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1, because there is a submission to authority. And you know what? Humans don't like to submit to authority. Satan does not like to submit to authority, and he's the god of this world. What is he injecting in people's minds? Society is led by Satan, and he wants us to think that submission is a horrible thing. He wants society to not respect authority. What does Paul say in Romans about individuals, what we need to fight, what we need to overcome? That thought process. Romans chapter 1, verse 28, we'll read a few verses. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind." So by not wanting to apply God's ways in your life, God will give people over to a debased mind. And so we see people, what you're doing, it doesn't make sense. Do you guys see what you're doing? And they don't. Because they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. Turns them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, it increases. Full of envy, murder, strife. You know, there was an individual jogging down the street in a rich neighborhood, and he was shot. And they found out he was shot because he had money. And the poor envied. And we see that's being pushed. It's being pushed in society. It was pushed just before the elections. It's full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. They don't want to do what's right. They don't. No. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Undeserving, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. All this because they want to retain God in their knowledge. And then God even increases that, turns them over to Satan. And look what happens. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That's talking about us. Could we be approving of what's going on in society? Could we be tagging along with a certain agenda where we are approving? You know, those who are not going to live a godly life, it tells us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, there's not a chance for eternal life. It's eternal death. Unless we repent. We are being judged now. You know, character needs to be taught. It's not an instinct for us. And character needs to be taught at childhood. That's the best time to be teaching it. Doesn't mean it can't be taught later in life and situations, but you know, an attitude towards others are developed at childhood. We see young kids murdering other young kids, murdering adults. Some of the foul language that comes out of their mouth. You know, the fifth commandment is learning to respect others and respecting others from childhood. That's where that starts. And that directive comes from God. He teaches us spiritually of how we are to be living as well. You know, our Heavenly Father is to be greatly honored and respected. And those who follow God, they will establish a pattern of honoring others and following authority. And when we don't do that, honoring others and following authority is impossible. It's impossible. What do we need to be doing as we're talking about this? So we're to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, Jesus Christ set a great example of how we are to live. And we know we're supposed to be Christ-like. Jesus Christ loved all people. He did not justify them practicing sin. We all sin. We all make mistakes. And sometimes people willingly disobey, but he still showed love to all people. And Peter, 1 Peter, I'm sorry. Verse Verse 17 says that we are to honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Honor the king. And it doesn't say here as long as they are, oh, you can't find any fault with them. What king can you not find fault with? What president can you not find fault with? What dignitary can you not find fault with? What person in authority can you not find fault with? It's not that we're looking for it, but we all have faults. And we are to honor all people. That's what makes God's people different than the world. They stand out. They're love. They turn the other cheek. They show respect. They follow authority. They don't speak evil of other people. But you know what? It's easy to be influenced with the society around us, isn't it? Because what goes on out there, it comes in here. It comes in here. You know, we're told, and I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Peter 2:10, we're told to not speak evil of dignitaries. We're told not to speak evil of those in authority. I mean, that's easy for us to do. I've done it. I don't want to do it. You know, the only way to, we have to have a relationship with God. We have to turn off that certain show, the talk shows, that they just keep chopping people off at the knees. You know, we hear people who criticize parents, teachers, programs. They criticize institutions, officials. It just goes on and on and on. We must, as God's people, we must push back. If we're involved with it ourselves, then we're justifying it. We're walking a dangerous line, a fine line of God turning us over to a debased mind. You know, it's interesting. It's sad of how many, I don't have a Facebook page, but we have our younger generation in the church. How many have Facebook? And there's a number of you, others, that have pushed yourselves for technology that are involved in that. But the quotes that are posted and the likes that people push like, whether it's foul language, speaking evil of someone, it's rampant amongst our people in the church on Facebook. Some might conclude that not following authority has become a tradition in the United Church of God. And you know what? We might even be pretty good at it. From what I see, we are pretty good at it. What does Jesus Christ, or what does the head of our church say about this? About not honoring our Father and our mother? Let's turn over to Matthew 15. Mr. Tuck turned here, and I believe it was him and his message a couple weeks ago. But Jesus Christ is scolding the religious leaders. Should have known better. Matthew 15, verse 4, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." Now you have to look at your life and what areas that you can be working on? What areas can I be working on? But Christ here was telling them in verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. They didn't want to serve their parents. No, Corbin, that's for God, whether they gave it to God or not. They neglected to take care of their parents who were in need. Religious leaders, people in our congregation, speaking evil of others, getting involved, where Scripture clearly says we're not to be. Hypocrites, verse 7. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart, their core, who they really are, it's far from me. We should all take a look at ourselves and ask, how can I improve on keeping the fifth commandment? Let's turn over to 2 Timothy. And if we were just to allow these things to go on and no one say anything about it, the ministry, we are responsible. It's on us. I'm going to teach it and help. So it's not on my head. I'm doing what I can and teaching God's word. Should we be surprised what's going to be happening in the end times? Look what's going on in society. How close are we? When does Jesus Christ return? Well, Scripture says that he doesn't even know the day or the hour. But you know, you have that parable of the 10 virgins. And their master comes back at midnight. He's coming back at a very dark time, a very dark society. And we cannot be part of it. But you know what? There are those who have God's Holy Spirit that are part of it. Because that's what Scripture says. Let's not be one of those. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, but you know this. You know this. But know this. We know this. But know this. In the last days, I mean, this is the time of Satan's rule, that perilous, talks about difficult, hard to bear times. Do you think getting caught up in a mob that's about to destroy you, to rip you apart, to kill you? That's happening in this country. And some of our dignitaries are fine with it, as long as it follows their agenda. But it's going to get difficult. These times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. They won't be honoring their parents. They won't be looking for God as their knowledge. They'll be lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. They don't want to honor their parents. No way. They want to follow authority. When we don't follow authority from God, we don't honor God, we don't honor our parents, look what's happening in society. They're unthankful, they're unholy, they're unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control. They're brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And some, verse 5, having a form of godliness. Oh yeah, I'm a good person. Satan to Eve. Oh yeah, you won't surely die. Yeah. Whatever he could do. And that portrays into human beings. And from such, people turn away. We are to avoid people like this. We are to come out of the world and not associate with them or even agree with them. But look what we can be involved in. Look what God has given us an opportunity. Let's go down to the end of this chapter. Verse 16 says, all scripture, God's word, God's the knowledge of his word, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I mean, it's instruction, right? To show us how to live, to be godly, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness, how to be made right. Right? Because that's not an instinct for us. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Whether we think what I'm saying today is fashionable or not, we will be judged. That's a fact. That will happen. We will stand before our judge. Brethren, let's encourage each other. Let's encourage to respect God, to honor God, to want to do his will, to repent when we change. Let's make changes in our lives. Hopefully our kids and young adults and those that are on, and it's not just them, it's also older people, get involved. How can we reverse this trend in our lives? I have three quick points. How we can show respect and honor one's parents. Point number one is to love God. He's your father. That's the first great commandment, right? Listen to your parents. We've got God the Father and Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Sometimes we were talking about kids and what we deserve, what we need to get, what we're not getting enough of, that I need more respect, I need more glory. The focus needs to be on me. Well, what is our calling? Ephesians chapter 4, well, let's just back up, because that question I asked, who needs to be glorified in the church? Who are we? Is it ourselves, or is it God? First, well, let's back up. Verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We have God's Holy Spirit. He's showing us what we need to do, and we need to exercise it. To him be glory in the church. To him. We bring him glory by doing his will. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. This is how it's going to be. Verse 1 of chapter 4, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, he says, I beseech you, I'm encouraging you, I want you to get it, walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Brethren, this is our calling. This is our calling, to love God, to obey him, and to love our neighbor as ourself, which is going to be point number 2, but point number 1, love God. He's our Father. And we do that with all lowliness. It's a humility. Brethren, that's what we need to be doing. That's what we need to be doing and coming out of the world. And gentleness. These are fruits of the Spirit. With long suffering, we suffer long when people sin against us. Just like God has mercy on us, we show mercy towards others. Bearing with one another in love. We bear with one another. We bear with other people's opinions and imperfections. We bear. We don't have to point the finger and jam it down their throat or walk away and I'm not going to spend time with them. And then we go talk about them with someone else. No, we bear with their imperfections. with the lack of their understanding, and we show love. That's what Christ did. That's what we do. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity. We're unity builders. We lift people up. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called. So that's our calling, right? That's our calling. Are we putting it into practice? Oh, we love the second part of this verse, but we like to neglect this part. And I'm talking about myself. I have to overcome as well, to fight off Satan. In one hope of your calling. One hope of your calling is eternal life. Yes, we want eternal life. But we want to neglect what we're called to do. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, showing us how to live this way of life. I'd like to jump forward real quick that he, Jesus Christ, and he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why does God give these men, these godly men, and they need to be godly men to be teaching God's way? It's for equipping of the saints, to equip us. Why? For the work of ministry. What's the work of ministry? The work of ministry is to do God's will. We learn God's will. It's being brought out to us, his word. For what? For the edifying. Edifying is talking about unity builders. Edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we do. And if we're doing that, then we can go out the world and do that. Right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the meekness and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, getting involved in the world. To the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things, him who is the head, Christ. So when we grow in this way and we apply this, we grow stronger. We become unity builders. Point number two, love your parents as yourself, right? Second great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ set a wonderful example of that. He was being tortured, all his bones staring at him. Let's turn over to John chapter 19. To the point, just before he died, he was suffering. The focus was not on him. Why did these people do this to me? He could have said that to the Father. Why did these people do this to me? I never sinned. These people spat on me. They ripped all my skin off. I can see my bones. They're all out of joint. I'm about to die. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. And what's on Christ's mind? To love his neighbor as himself. It's John 19. Some of his last words just before he died. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, so he was on the stake, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, so he saw his mother, and the disciples whom he loved standing by, so he saw John, and he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." He's showing honor to his mother. He's showing respecting authority at the point of death. Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother, my friend. This is my mother. She's now yours. Will you please watch over her?" And what does John do? And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Yes. I will, Master. And we know Scripture says that God says, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." you want that scripture, 2 Peter 1:17. I'm not going to turn there. But the last point real quick is, as we put the two great commandments into our lives, we need to be thoughtful and thankful to our parents, God the Father and Jesus Christ. We need to be thoughtful and thankful to our physical father and mother, even if they are jerks. There is Jesus Christ lost his life to bloodshed. His life more important or more valuable, I just use the word more valuable than all human beings combined. He created us. Children have to be taught this. We are here to be taught God's word. We as children have to be taught God's ways. It has to be reinforced. No, we as children growing up, it's like, okay, what's the next food to eat? Oh, what's the next good game I get to play? Oh, what's the next good gadget that's coming out? What's in it for me? What about us? Coming to services. You know, as children, we don't always remember the sacrifices that our parents have done for us. They seem to forget that. You know, the parents, you know, the wife that bore the child, the pain. It was delightful, the baby comes out, but the pain, the suffering, carrying the baby for the 9-10 months. Then the feedings throughout all hours, the crying, you know, as a parent, as a father, have the baby, he or she starts crying. They're hungry, you know? It's like, no. And it's like, oh, yeah, they're, and, you know, my wife would say, oh, I just fed them. It's like, well, they're crying. They need to be nurtured, need to spend time with them. Need to check their diaper. Do they have rashes? You need to get certain ointments. You need to help them. And as they grow up, you know, you're making sure when they're crawling, what do they put in their mouth? You have a dog, you got to be careful what they're grabbing, or they grab some hair over here. You're always looking out for them and watching them. You're helping them learn how to walk. You're helping them learn how to talk. You're helping them through school, through the problems of life. You're encouraging. You're helping them to learn how to write, to read. Are you helping them through challenges in life? What's good? What's bad? You're helping them do fun things. You're taking them places. You're buying them clothes. You're feeding them. You know, then as they grow up, like I said, they sometimes forget those things. They struggle a little, and they seem to forget what the parents have done for them. They tend to point the finger at them, or they point the finger at God. We point the finger at God, right? What our parents have done for us. You didn't do enough. And we just read in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, that they're unthankful. Let's not be unthankful. Let's be thoughtful. Let's not forget that the car and the clothes our parents bought for us to help us. Let's not focus on our physical parents of the things that they've done wrong, because we can find fault. We can find fault. Let's close over in Colossians. As we ponder this, as we think about this, as we focus on our calling of being unity builders, you know, of honoring our father and our mother. Let's think on these things. Let's be thoughtful. Let's be thankful. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, we are called. We are told these things. We're shown these things. We're being reinforced on these things. The elect of God, holy and beloved. God calls us holy and beloved even through our imperfections and our weaknesses. He says, I'm here to help you put on tender mercies. Humility, meekness. Suffer long when people hurt you. Don't have an ill feeling for them. Don't be like the world. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Even when they seems like you should get it, right? Imperfections. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. That's what we've been called to do, is the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. If my finger gets cut off, it hurts. If we lose one of you, it hurts. That's what we should be. Should be on our mind. And be thankful, it says the end of verse 15. Be thankful. So in conclusion, honoring one's parents is vital. Why is it vital? It connects us with God. It connects us with the Lord. So how do we honor others? Well, let's continue. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We help each other. We encourage each other. We're pulling for each other. Let's come out of the world. Let's put on Christ. Yeah, it's not easy, but this is how we do it. We must be persistent. We do that in psalm, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all these in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then we're told, we're always given instructives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. We have to work on these things. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You know, we see in society today that they don't do this. They don't want to follow authority. They don't want to implement this. Then they have kids, and then their kids continue it. Then they have kids, and it continues, and it's escalating. Brethren, it is escalating in our society that I don't think it has ever been like this. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. We have a responsibility. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters concerning to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Don't do it, oh, someone's looking at me. Internalize it. Do it. It's our calling. In sincerity of heart, fearing God. There's a judgment time coming. We need help. We must do this. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So we have a calling to honor God, to obey God, and that means respecting and honoring all people. We don't condone what they do, but we follow the authority that is in place. We are an example. We are to honor our father and our mother. That's a directive from God. That's the fifth commandment. And God wants the best for us. And yes, we live in a society that's not going down this path. And when they're not going down that path, If you're not of righteousness, you're of unrighteousness, and unrighteousness hates righteousness. Those who are righteous will be persecuted. Let's not be involved in being unrighteous and be the ones persecuting others. Because those of society do not want God as their father. That was point number one. They do not want to love their parents as themselves. That was point number two. And they're neither thoughtful or thankful for what God has given them. And then therefore God has turned them over to a debased mind. Yes, Satan has a hold on society. How close are we to the end of this age? Are we going to be doing anything about it? Maybe we're close. Time will tell. We know that perilous times are going to come. The people of God have not been persecuted yet. That still has to happen. But we see things rapidly falling apart. And the question for you and I, we know what is going to happen. Are we ready? If so, we need to be honorable children in the family of God.